Okay.
Cute.
Okay, so I think we're about ready to start, and it's my pleasure to introduce this very fascinating session. I'm looking forward to it. We have Severin Kala Suzuki, Jasquan A. Bedard, and Khat Kyu, and Patricia Shaw talking about a key to understanding, creating a dialect key to link the language communities on Haida Gwaii. Without further ado, I'll give you, you'll have 20 minutes to talk and then we'll ask questions.
Okay. Salana ukoyadi alga. Sangangu suwe iskananga huju sit gyaha ija. Nang e tlagadas ahlu dagwik talangi nanga. Kenanan gingu dang stathlangu dang ya ija. He nang e tlgat istang sangut talangkila giga. Huya, huya, ha, 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 hey, huya, ha. How are you, Squan? I see Tilgai on Tilgaidat La Isis. Dalanga fukilla gudang. Kanaga haidagai dungyatlgai uiji. Dungwadlhan kan atlyah gudang. Hawa. Good people of this land, I honor you. I want to thank you all. Hawaiian people, this is your land. I pay my respect to you all. So hello everyone, we're giving you a presentation today, and to open, Jasquan has given us a beautiful prayer in song, and I have just opened with a land acknowledgement that is actually was developed at Talungslung Haida Language Camp. This was developed by Lawrence Bell, Victoria Edgars, Marianne Ignace, and Lucy Bell. And this is great for me to be able to say because I'm learning a different dialect than this dialect that they produce this land acknowledgement in. So I wanted to give that and pay tribute to the Hawaiians.
And I just want to add our profound gratitude to the organizers of ICLDC, who have initiated this conference. This is the sixth one, and I'm extraordinarily privileged to have been to them all, and to see the growth and engagement with Indigenous peoples around the world contributing to this, particularly in this year of the International Year of Indigenous Languages. So I would like to say thank you very much to the many people who are part of the organization of this from the perspective of the conference organizers.
So this is a few snapshots of Haida Gwaii. This is a legacy poll that was put up at Windy Bay, and just to showcase, you know, the landscape where our language comes from. And these are some of the elders that we have learned from in Haida Gwaii, our prospective dialects.
And your name.
That's right. So Jasquan Hanudi Kiang, Cheats Stu Di Iskagun, Di Hadagun. My name is Jasquan. I'm from the Cheats Kitne Eagle Clan, and I'm from the village of Old Masset, and I am really honored to be here today.
Kishkulagaya hanu di kiraga di uhadiskakiwaga. So my Haida name is Kishkulagaya. My given name is Severin Kala Suzuki. My ancestry is from Japan and England, but I was adopted into the Kadiskakigwai clan, and I've been learning from the Skitigat elders for 12 years now.
My name is Patricia Shaw. I'm the founding chair of the First Nations and Endangered Languages Program at the University of British Columbia. My own ancestry is that I was born as the daughter of many generations of previous settlers into Mohawk territory in the village, the city of Montreal.
Yeah, so here's a snapshot of Kitsila Ayahs in my family. In our language, or, I mean our families are language families. That was the impetus for my own language learning. So my oldest daughter, Hannah, when I was pregnant with her, we made a choice as a family to embark on a language learning journey. We just grew up with colloquial terms. My father, who's Haida, was not fluent in the language, didn't know it because of the legacy of residential schools. And basically, no one in my generation had our language as a first language, nor and very few people in his generation had it as a first language. So we wanted to do something together as a family and teach our children the language. So that's why I'm on this language learning journey, and now I have three children.
And myself, my children are on the right, and my husband is Judson Brown. I married into the Haida Nation 10 years ago, and my husband was very dedicated to learning his language. His mother is one of the youngest fluent speakers of Haida, of Haida-Kil, the Skidigit dialect. However, she did not teach her children the language. So now as an adult, he's trying to learn his language, and we're working actually very much now with his mother to engage so we can all teach our children. And so our families are very parallel. Jesquan and I have very parallel families, and in fact I was very inspired by the work that she was doing with her little ones who are the same, similar age. However, and you can hear a big but coming up, we speak different dialects. So we're an hour apart on the islands of Haida Gwaii, an hour by road, and it might not sound like much, but we have not really been using the language with each other in all this time.
Yeah, so just a bit about the Haida language. Here we are, here's Haida Gwaii in relation to British Columbia. So here's Southeast Alaska. And this is a map that First Peoples Cultural Council put together. You know, there are many different languages in British Columbia. British Columbia is, you know, the westernmost province in Canada. There's, I think, about 34 languages, but Haida language is a language isolate. So it exists on its own here on Haida Gwaii, the Islands of the People. And so we're unable to really share resources with people around the other nations around us. And we would really like to begin to share resources with each other. So there are
Alaska.
And in Alaska, so Southeast Alaska, here you see that purple. We also have a group of Haidas living there, lived there for many generations, and they have a dialect in Alaska, also called Haudkil. And at one time there were many dialects, I think up to, 30 dialects is a safe estimate. And when smallpox hit our islands, when it was deliberately introduced, it wiped out about 98% of our population. And so the survivors of that genocide in the north congregated in what is now known as Masset, and those dialects all congregated into one that's Haudkil, which is the dialect I'm learning. And the survivors of the south congregated in Skidigit. Now speak Haida-Kil, the dialect that Severin is learning.
So this is really the focus of our project, is this amalgamated dialects and the differences between them. Well, we kind of spoken to these.
Yes.
You kind of spoke to the first one.
Yes.
As Jesquan said, two amalgamated dialects. Often when we're talking about endangered languages, we often talk about you know, the small numbers of the last speakers. And, you know, we are very, very lucky that we still have approximately 30 first language fluent elders with us. It's just remarkable given the very heavy past that we still today in the 21st century have these speakers with us. I just wanted to try to spit, I've been trying to look at it differently from looking at only this handful of speakers to say, look, these are our survivors into this time.
Right, and I also am trying to change the dialogue around language a bit. When we say, because, you know, amongst dialects, of course, this number is a lot less if we were to break it up between dialects. And so we could say something quite difficult to hear about the Hodgkill dialect. But when I think about it, when I think about speaker, every day I speak the language. Every day the people in my classroom, like either adult learners or younger people, speak the language. So we have to broaden our idea of language speaking. And it's not just, we can't just count the fluent speakers anymore. We have to acknowledge and hold up those of us who are working in the language, learning the language, and teaching the language where we're at.
Oh, wow. Do you want to say anything to that difference?
Well, not only is the issue of speaker complex, but the issue of dialect is very complex, too. A lot of people speak about the difficulty of identifying dialect as opposed to language, because that's a very permeable and constantly moving boundary. But even the notion of dialect, each dialect is very difficult to identify. It's an idealized concept because many families have different ways of speaking. Generational differences will come into play. Intermarriage will come into play. So if we think even just about English, my dialect is probably going to be uniquely different from everybody else in this room. You will hear me say things like which and where, and you will have no difficulty understanding me, but that's just part of my native Montreal dialect. And so the notion of how do you work across the extant dialects and come together is not a straightforward question, but it's a really interesting question. And the celebration of diversity and the diversity of the dialects that are there is a really important recognition to move forward with. So,
thank you.
Yeah, so we really want to come together as dialects. Often we have a shared history, and I hear about it a lot from elders in my family about how you know, before, like, we have shared family members. Even for example, my great grandfather, Chief Wea, has family in Skidigit. And that family is always sure to acknowledge that relationship whenever I go down there. And that's very common amongst all families, where we have a shared history, and in fact, we are family. So to acknowledge that more than how we are different, and we're really promoting that with this project.
And to move from dialect as a source of challenges, and I'm sure many of you can relate to the modern day challenges of dialect difference in this context. We're constantly competing against each other for resources. I mean, not very much resources, but we still have to compete with each other for these small amounts of money to try to do what we want to do with the languages. And then the other challenge is, you know, not being able to access the very good work each other are doing. So it was a bit interesting coming together, just Juan and I, this week and realizing that each of us have some pretty amazing resources we've been working on that we just have not been able to share with each other.
So leading us to the project,
finally.
Where we wanted to be 10 minutes ago. So this Dialect Key project, we just came up with this metaphor that's very borrowed from English, but from the title of our presentation here, we wanted a key to our similarities. So we use the term open the door, kiwaith wasta asla.
Kiwaith da vastal.
And our goals in coming together, and we feel that this is really a beginning for a really big project in the future, an ongoing project in conversation, is to identify and explain our commonality and differences between Hodkill and Hydekill, and to transform these perceived challenges and barriers into a richness, strength, and opportunity. And we really want to promote healing, acceptance, love, cooperation, and working together, because quite often the legacy that we spoke of earlier with such a devastating hit to our population and to our language leaves this promotion of healing and acceptance, love and cooperation, that's a really hard place to get to, so we want to promote that together.
And personally, we want to have a conversation that we can understand with each other, and that's a very concrete personal goal that we have with this conference in particular. And our hope is that one day our families may be able to talk with each other.
Yeah.
Okay, Pat.
Okay, this is just quickly to give you an overview of the sound system of the language, which, as you can see, is actually a rich sound inventory, phonological inventory. So we're starting here with the Skittigat dialect, and then if we move to the next slide, what we're going to focus on is all these consonants in the back part of the articulatory throat. And one of the things that is quite salient in terms of the differences between the dialects is what has happened to the uvular column that you see there. The small capital G has become a pharyngeal articulation, and the corresponding fricative, the underline X, also has become a pharyngeal articulation. So if we move to the next slide, you'll be able to hear this.
Right, so this is something that we've found in our attempts at conversing with each other. And many, many people find it when we're conversing between dialects and comparing words and whatnot. So for an example, the word for water in Hodkill is unt.
And the same word in Hydekill is gundl. So say it again, maybe.
Unt.
Gundl. So at first, it's easier once you can see it, but at first when you're just having a conversation, unt, I'm saying it right, and gundl are very incongruous. To me, it was a major barrier. I could not understand. And then once we started writing it down, the orthography and writing it actually helped a lot, myself, and I think others, to see the similarities. So you can see on the left that that they're the same word.
Mm-hmm.
So similarly, to cry,
s'aishta,
and s'aishl.
And s'anua.
S'anagwa.
For supernatural. So this is a barrier, I think, with learners. And then often that barrier can be accentuated by older speakers to say, oh, it's just so different. And just really concentrate on that difference. And once we start talking to each other and understanding the difference in pronunciation, seeing the similarities and the orthography is the same, however, the pronunciation is what's different, and we can pick that up the more that we practice speaking to each other and understand it this way.
We're going to have to really race through.
Okay.
Another one is the X underline in our orthography, which in Hydekill is Hydekill.
Hodkill. And again, it's the same, it's indicated as the same symbol, X underline, but it's pronounced quite a bit different, and these two are the ones that we focused on because we noticed them the most as learners
mm-hmm.
of the language.
It's like the first thing you meet. Other differences, we have 2 minutes.
Okay, right, so this is another thing too, and I find it because I work often with the Skittigat Haider Immersion Program, developing resources, and just, that are targeted to very beginner learners, but then this definitive form, when we're saying the cat in Hodkill, we say dujay, and
we say daujai.
Daujai, and so the sound that is also in Hodkill is used as the definitive, but this sound here, the ee sound a, used as a definitive in Hodgkill is found with a lot less frequency in Hydekill.
We have several other explorations, including tense ending differences, and in writing them down and actually just starting to just look at the same meanings and then writing them down, putting them in different colors, we're seeing they're actually very congruous. There's just slight differences, including one convention of Hydekill separates the tense endings from the verb. So these slight differences, but they don't have to be barriers. Also, right.
And then some similarities, like in the negative, when we're exploring that together, we could see how very similar we utilize this for, I'm not hungry, gamdi kut angung. And then we see that it's the similar convention and just with that slight pronunciation difference, but then we're able to understand each other quite clearly. This other, very commonly used for yes, no questions, dangu konga.
Dangwa konga.
Where we use gu and Hydekill uses gua. And we just had this as a we were comparing each other when we're attempting these, beginner conversations with each other, like with these very commonly used question words and how similar they are between the two dialects. So Hodgkill has very similar, this is the same word for who, very similar for what, and just slight differences in the why, where, and when.
Great. Good job, ladies. Mm-hmm. Okay. So references and hoa, everyone. Thank you.
We have 10 minutes for questions, and I don't know if you'd like to pick the question, the people to, or would you like me to select?
To moderate?
Yeah.
Moderate?
Yeah. Does anyone have any questions?
Go ahead.
Thank you so much for your presentation. That was really interesting, and I just love your enthusiasm for wanting to speak to each other. So I work with Tlingit speakers in British Columbia, and there are Tlingit speakers in Alaska, very similar to the Haida case where across countries, and then Teslin. So I wondered if you had any tips. I know people that I'm working with are trying to find ways to bridge the differences between Teslins. If you had to give tips to them, what would your tips be about finding these dialect differences and working? Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing I just wanted to say, we're really benefiting from older generations of language activists who really worked at having a common orthography. Mm-hmm. And just in this week, we've been really realizing, sometimes we really focus on the differences, but actually, the similarities are overwhelming, you can just see it. So that really has helped us. I don't know what...
there are many different orthographies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, two that are used more commonly. But I was appreciating your orthography as you were talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. Like, there's been a lot of work done previously. Dr. Ignace Gilkeith gets in the room and has done a lot of work, and as has Lucille. Where we do work amongst communities, and it's really, this isn't necessarily a new initiative, but it feels like it is to us. And it begins with small conversation. Mm-hmm. And then, these realizations that are new to us, and then hopefully we can help newer learners who it will be new to as well. And just continuously decode our language for each other.
Maybe Dr. Shaw, do you have any ideas?
I think these are wonderful suggestions. I think one of the most wonderful things that I've been observing in the interaction here is the openness. So opening the door and sort of taking that big step across the threshold of difference to looking for commonalities and looking towards the future of families, of interaction together. And that's not a leveling of the dialects. It's not a question of standardization at all. It's a question of valuing the differences, recognizing the differences, identifying the differences, and moving forward from there to really appreciate the inherent vitality that there is in language variation.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I like your last word, language variation, because for many of us that work in and with indigenous speech community, dialect is really kind of a divisive word, and so I think it's really important that we rethink, and that's where I think you make, you're making a really good contribution to that, so thank you for that. The question that I have, and as both of you know, I missed your first slide or two, so you may have said it. Haida orthography, or Hakil, Haidakil orthographies are a work in progress on the heels of non-collaborative past linguistic work, if I may put it such. To what degree do you think that orthographic conventions nowadays, as for the most part, as learners of the languages, you're learning, right, and you're using, but to what degree do orthographic conventions influence pronunciation?
I think a high degree. There's a high degree of influence, like for myself, because I'm a visual learner. So when I see those characters attached to a word that I've learned to be pronounced a certain way, then I will repeat it that way. And then if we're looking to standardize even more our shared orthography, which we've worked, you know, as you know, has been worked a progress to share this common orthography. You know, there could be a slight divergence where at one point it could have been a lot more similar, but based on orthography conventions that are different, changes pronunciation. That's my
Just quickly on that, I think in Skidigit we haven't really had a broad campaign to become, to develop literacy in Haidakil. And so actually I'm trying to look at this right now. One reason I'm interested is because my son's name is Gunplans, so it has an HL written in there, and HL is a sound, it's its own it's its own unique Haida sound, Gunplans. And it's, you know, at school all the time the teachers are writing it wrong. They're writing G-A-H-N-L-A-A-N-S. And I realize it's because they just don't have literacy in Haida. They don't realize that that is a sound. And so as well, I'm realizing, because the language is starting to come out again, it's being put on signage, and it's finally starting to be seen. However, people haven't been taught so how to read. So that's something I'm starting to realize, oh, I have to teach them how to, like my children's teachers, how to read, because they're just seeing a bunch of letters that they don't understand, and so they, it's easy for them to muddle it up. So as well as the orthography, I'm realizing we really need some like a literacy campaign. So I think that will go hand in hand with how people perceive the sounds. Lucy.
Now where did my question go? I just want to say hello for your presentation, and it just is really exciting to see the two of you so passionately working together. So taking that, I'm hoping, I want to encourage you to take it further and record some dialogue together. So I really have to strain my ears when I hear people from Skidigit speak, and it's really, really hard to just understand very basic things for me. So to have a recording of the two of you having some little conversations, that would be such a valuable tool for me as a learner.
That's so interesting. Okay.
One thing we've discussed is we really want a take-home deliverable for community. So the work that we've done here, it very much feels like the beginning, but like what we've done might be really usable for a lot of different learners, just on like a handout, a one or two page handout. And then to promote conversation between us in a way where it's not me having to, like, not where it's just like I'm promoting everyone learning two dialects, which would be amazing, but where I can promote understanding her dialect. As I heard my elders in Kunisi, that, you know, my old nani would talk to, you know, Judson's old nani, they would speak each other's dialect and understand each other perfectly, but not speak each other's dialect, speak their own dialect and understand each other perfectly, and we can get back to that spot again. A recent initiative, the Edge of the Knife film, showcases that really well, where two families are speaking to each other in their perspective dialects and understanding each other. And in that way, we could just broaden all of the resources that we've developed individually. So it's a long road ahead, but we're just going to get there incrementally.
I think we're out of time, but we have 10 minutes in between, so we can work as a